Well, Davi Rutt and I are both heading for Cape Town this week. I'll be going a much shorter trip over the big mountain between Hermanus and Cape Town. Davi, you coming from the north. This, however, is a bit of a milestone. Your 41st budget. That's extraordinary. You don't look that bad. Alec.
Yeah. No, I'm not going down to Cape Town this time round. But yes, I can remember when I started analyzing the budget, I was working at the South African Reserve Bank and I did fiscal stuff there. I analyzed every month, I would analyze the Exchequer account and the Paymaster General account, and I will get all of that numbers and I'll fill it into big blue books. That's even before the time of spreadsheets, and I've analyzed the budget. And so this is 41st budget. Can you believe that? So I've been, and every year I've been analyzing a budget. And this is also my pet hate in a way, fiscal policy, because I studied that and I did my master's degree on tax regimes and stuff like that. So yeah, my 41st one.
And who was your first finance minister?
I can remember that very well, because I did my BCom economic and law degree through UNISA. And there was a competition, it's still running, this competition. This competition is called the Old Mutual NetBank Budget Competition for students at universities. And I won UNISA's that specific year, and I had the opportunity to go down to Cape Town to listen to the budget as a real youngster. And some of the students were allowed to ask the minister a question. And I was thinking very hard and very long, and I came up with a question that I thought was a very clever question. And the Minister of Finance then was Barton du Plessis, and I stood up in front of a lot of people. It was a very fancy do then. And I asked this question, and he really, really made a fool of me in front of all that people. But I can remember that very well. And I see him every now and again, Barton du Plessis, and he knows about that. You remember, you really, really, I made an ass of myself.
Well, thoroughly. Yeah. There's no bad questions, I believe. There's only bad answers. So Barron was the one who failed that test. And interesting to think back names like that many young South Africans have never heard of. But they have heard of Enoch Godongwana. And how's he been doing so far, given this wonderful experience that you have and being able to rate the various finance ministers, if you don't mind?
Yeah, well, I can think of much worse ministers that we had previously. The smiling suit comes to mind, for example, or the weekend special is another one. But I think he's not too bad. I think he's doing a relatively good job. People think that the job of the Minister of Finance is to grow the economy or to create jobs. That's not his job. There are many other ministers in the cabinet that is more responsible for policies that can get the economy to grow. His job is to look at things like, for example, the tax regime, the various taxes, make tweaks and adjustments here and there, and to look at the expenditure items. And I guess his job, primary job, is probably trying to keep the other ministers away from the purse. I think that's his main job. But he needs to balance the books. That's what he does. But the real running of Well, it's not the job of the government to run the economy, but policies that affect the economy is pretty much decided by other departments and other ministries, not necessarily the Minister of Finance. Of course, he's got a huge impact on the economy, and his decisions on various taxes and state expenditure and the funding and all of that certainly impact on the economy. But things like, for example, labor legislation and labor law, trade and stuff like that, that is not really the responsibility of the Minister of Finance. And maybe something else that he did last. So I think he's not too bad, but something that he did last year that I was not very happy about him is that he was very reluctant and quite aggressive, actually, to Lesetse Kanyago in not lowering the inflation targets. That's the prerogative of the Minister of Finance. And the reason why he didn't want to reduce the inflation targets was because he likes to spend a lot. Well, he's trying to keep a lid on state expenditure, but politicians generally like to spend money. And if inflation targets are low, or you have low inflation targets, then it's much more difficult to say, listen, I'm going to spend 6% more this year compared to last year, while the inflation target is only 3%, for example. But eventually, Lesetse Kanyago forced him into lowering the inflation target to 3%, which is a very, very good thing. And see how the financial markets reacted positive to that. But to try to answer your question, I think he's certainly the best that the ANC can offer. Probably not the best there is, but it's certainly the best the ANC can offer.
It's an interesting point you make there about the inflation targets, because at the mini budget, this what was that, 6 months ago. Well, it's not called the mini budget, it's called the medium term
budget policy statement.
Lesego Kanyaha was actually quite he was quite mischievous, as he tends to. He is like that, actually. He's got a lovely, wicked sense of humor, and he spoke about how he and the finance minister here in the press conference, and that was being recorded, how the two of them had actually had buried the hatchet, and now they both agree that the inflation target should be 3%. And good news for, well on both of them, because it certainly has been good for the country. That was the big story, I guess, of the medium-term budget policy statement, the mini-budget.
Yeah,
what's
you know
the big
what
story
like?
Likely to be now?
Mm-hmm. No, the revenue is a big story now. But I must tell you, I blame you guys, the press, for not putting more emphasis, making more of a big deal out of the lowering of the inflation targets. It is a big, big deal. It's a major thing. And the press sort of brushed it off, you know, which is wrong. But anyway, so that is water under the bridge. Okay, what's the big story this time around? I think the big story is certainly the revenue overrun. The commodity cycle, the gold price, platinum prices, all that. That's probably going to give the Minister of Finance, I would guess, 50 billion or so extra. Quite a lot of money. But just to put it in perspective, a 1% increase in VAT will give him approximately 25 billion. So this is the equivalent of about 2% increase in VAT, just roughly speaking. So we'll see what the number is that he's going to come up with. And so that I would say is the big story, the revenue. That's one. And then a little bit more technical is another important thing is that because of lower inflation targets, by the way, and some other things, the yields on the capital market came down very, very nicely, something like 400 basis points. And that means that the Minister of Finance can borrow at cheaper rates now, basically. But of course, remember the money that he owes, that is, you can't do anything about that. That was, you need to be paying high interest on the money that he borrowed previously. But subsequently, interest rates came down quite nicely. And when he starts borrowing in the market now, he can actually borrow at 4 percentage points or 400 basis points less than about a year or so off ago. But it will take some time before we can really start seeing that on the bottom line. But at least that's certainly, without a doubt, very good news. So the lower inflation targets is also benefiting the Minister of Finance. And then I guess the last
Darby, just on that one, before we go off that topic, how much of the government debt is linked to either inflation or interest rates? You know, we know our interest rates are linked to a mortgage bond that comes down when interest rates fall. What about the government debt?
Now, remember, the government debt consists mostly of so-called normal bonds. You know, these are just normal bonds, vanilla bonds. So they borrow money at a certain coupon rate or an interest rate. So, for example, if you've got it's a law, by the way. So there will be a law in Parliament and they will create a new bond and it will be called R something, 123 or whatever the case might be. And I can remember when I started working in the market, the R150 was the benchmark note. And today it's something else. So there will be a law that says they can borrow X amount of money on a new R instrument. And the R instrument will be issued at a coupon rate of X, say, for example, 10%. And then the Minister of Finance will start selling these bonds in the market, and he will pay interest of 10% on that specific bond. But as interest rates change in the market, of course, the yield changes with that as well. So the coupon rate and the yield are two different things. We have to understand that. And the yield is market determined. So it is quite possible that the Minister of Finance can sell a bond not for 10%, but he can sell it for 12 or 13 or 15% yield, while the coupon remains 10%. It's a little bit technical. We could talk about that one day, but just take my word. That is basically how it works. So as yields come down, and that has been happening, the bulk of government debt now will become, well, not cheaper because he's locked in. He already borrowed that money in the past. But as he starts issuing more government debt instruments, even at the same coupon rate, he will actually start funding it at a lower yield, which will be good for the cash flow for the Minister of Finance. But most of that consists of this normal so-called vanilla bonds. There are many other bonds. There are inflation linkers, for example. And we've got, I don't know if we have zero coupon bonds. I think there could be a couple of zero coupon bonds out there still. And then, of course, in the short term, you get something called treasury bills or TBs. And those are short-term interest rates that are issued at a discount And that is just for short-term, the management of short-term cash flow requirements. But the bulk of the actual funding happens on the so-called, on the bonds, longer-term bonds.
Yeah, those treasury bills, 90 days still? Is that the, term?
Technically, you can go up to a year because that they all fall under so-called short-term instruments. But typically, say 90 days. Yes. But there are 30 or 60 days or even longer. I don't know if they still use much of the longer dated ones, but it can technically go up to 1 year. And the difference between a TD and a bond is that the one is issued at a discount and the other one, of course, is issued at a yield.
Got it. Now, I recall again from the medium-term budget policy statement that Duncan Peterson, the Director General, was saying that the reduction in interest rate is saving the Treasury billions. I think the number was 5 billion plus on interest rates even then. And that would probably be things like Treasury bonds and things like that. But in time, as you've explained to us, as you replace this expensive debt with much cheaper debt, as inflation targets are maintained and interest rates come down, it's going to be just a huge boost for the whole country. And I would challenge you. We at BizNews have been very, very openly supportive of what this is the impact it is on the whole cost of capital in South Africa. And in fact, we could even have a strong currency. I mean, that is it sounds ridiculous to many people, but if our inflation stays at the inflation target of 3%, is that a possibility, Davi?
Yeah, certainly. It actually can lead to this virtuous cycle where you have eventually what's going to happen. We will see the benefits of lower yields in years to come, provided we maintain inflation at relatively low levels. But that means that the Minister of Finance will get some benefit of lower interest rates this year. Next year will be more of a benefit. The year thereafter, it will be more of a benefit. And every year, that means the interest component, the expenditure will come down as well. And that will reduce the fiscal deficit. And that will be positive, leading to even lower interest rates. So it's a virtuous kind of cycle, provided we can keep inflation where it is, roughly where it is now. And even think of lowering inflation even further. But in the meantime, we've got a couple of guys that's really spoiling the party. Like, for example, Eskom increasing prices at ridiculous levels. You know, we have to put a lot of pressure on those institutions not to increase prices. In fact, anything above the inflation targets. In fact, they shouldn't be allowed to increase above 3%. In fact, it should be lower than 3%. But anyway, we are currently, I think, inflation expectations is coming down quite nicely. People understand and accept and believe that inflation is going to come down. And that's perhaps the single most important variable if you want to get inflation lower, and that is getting people to trust the Reserve Bank. And I think Lesetja Kanyahu has done a brilliant job. Really, really. You should get some sort of medal for that.
Lots of awards. And I'm sure he will be getting those in due course. Just looking at that revenue overrun of 50 billion rand, it's almost like we as citizens, when you see things are improving, when you see maybe crime getting under control, when you see interest rates falling, when you see the government not overspending, when you see more money coming in than anticipated, the books being well managed, you can almost lift your own spirits because it's going in the right direction. It's, of course, in the dark years of Zuma, things were all going in the wrong direction and then people were really wanting to slit their wrists. Are we on that? On that right trajectory now, and if so, what do we look for in the budget to either confirm or deny that?
Yeah, no, you're right. Things do look a little bit better than a year or so ago. You made a comment that they're not overspending. Well, relative to the budget, perhaps not. But the state is far too big in South Africa. They're spending too much money. We just simply, as it is, cannot afford this massive state apparatus. We have to do something about that, and especially on the wage bill. The wage bill has gotten completely out of hand. But you're right, the trajectory at least has flattened down a little bit. I'm referring to the debt to GDP ratio, for instance. And I think if we can maintain it where it is, we can actually see debt to GDP ratio start coming down within, say, 2 or 3 years. But remember, there are two variables here. The one is if you look at the fiscal numbers, that's a debt or a deficit or whatever. And the other one, and this is more important, is the size of the economy. And there I have some issues. The economy, the Minister of Finance is probably going to pencil in 1.4, maybe 1.5% growth for this year for economic growth, which is achievable. I don't think we're going to get there. I think 1.2 is perhaps closer to the mark. But even if we do get to 1.5%, that's the issue. The economy is not growing fast enough. and to put measures in place to grow the economy better. Of course, the Minister of Finance could do a lot of things, but I referred earlier, I said, it's the responsibility of many of the other ministers. Then we have to look at other things. We have to look at the things like expropriation. We have to look at labor legislation. We have to look at BEE, which is a huge cost to the economy. And those sort of things to get this economy to grow. On the financial markets, we saw what happened in the financial markets, the bonds and the rand and all those sort of things. And even the management of the fiscal accounts by the Minister of Finance is not too bad. And some of this will spill over into the real economy and supporting economic growth. But now we have to take the next step and is remove all those other obstacles in the way of real, stronger, real economic growth. And that's still not going to happen.
Yeah, Davi, I wasn't making a statement. I was asking a question. And I think the big question is, what do we look for in this budget that is going to guide us to whether the country is going in the right direction or not?
Let me tell you what I'm a little bit concerned about, and one should always be a little bit worried about that. There is huge pressure on the Minister of Finance. There always will be. There always is. On the Minister of Finance on to spend money on A, B, and C. Everybody wants more money for something somewhere. And many people or many of these other ministers, they've got very good cases that they are bringing to the Minister of Finance to get more money. And unfortunately, what happens quite often, if there's some sort of windfall revenue, like what we're probably seeing at the moment, that money will be directed to something that is very important at that moment. Maybe an increase in salaries here and there, or maybe some give more money to Eskom or give more money to the municipalities or whatever. And that's the danger here. And that's the danger of a windfall to any finance minister anywhere in the world. The only way that you can really get politicians to spend less money is to make sure they have less money to spend. And so in a way, it's good news, but that means you will get more money. And if there's more money, then certain expenditure items, like, for example, this COVID grant will become a fixed expenditure item. That's probably what's going to happen. So that is something. It's a good news, the overrun the revenue, but there's a downside to that as well. So what are the signs? I think some of the signs that I certainly hope for, some of the things that the Minister of Finance can do, is to use this windfall to cut some of these very, very damaging taxes. Like, for example, corporate taxes, company taxes. We've got corporate taxes at 27%. That is just far too high. We need to cut back on that. We need to reduce that. We have to adjust the tax brackets of personal income taxes. They haven't had the taxpayer, the salary earner, hasn't seen any significant changes for bracket creep. So inflation actually pushed the taxpayer up into higher brackets for many years now. We need to do something about that. But overall, if I was the Minister of Finance, I will start with a program to dramatically simplify the total tax regime in South Africa. It is hopefully expensive. It is very, very complicated. It is very, very unfair. So I would certainly overhaul the whole tax environment. But if there's one single number that I think that the market will look at, well, two numbers. The first one is the fiscal deficit, and I think the fiscal deficit will look better than originally estimated by the Minister of Finance. We're probably talking about the fiscal deficit just below 4%, which is still far too high, but it's not as bad as where it was. And the second number is the Minister's expectations in terms of the debt-to-GDP ratio. And there, alas, the previous years, we simply didn't believe him, rightfully so. And the reason was there were various reasons for that. But this time around, I think the financial markets will actually, if he says he's going to stabilize the debt-to-GDP ratio at 78% in 2 years' time and then bring it down to 77 and lower, I think the markets this time around will agree with him. And I think we're going to see it in things like bond yields coming down even further. And we could even see it in the rand appreciating and doing a little bit better as well. So those are the kind of numbers and things that I will be looking out for.
What is going to get the headline writers to say a good news budget?
Yeah, people, I guess for an economist, it must be the deficit, but that sounds quite nerdy, very boring. So I think the headline number is going to be tax cuts. Well, not tax cuts as such, but the adjustment of the brackets. I think that's probably going to be the headline number. We can't spend more. Like I've said, it's dangerous to spend more money. But the tax cuts, I would say, will be for personal income taxpayers. That will be the headline number, I would say.
Would you be happy if some of that 50 billion was put into Transnet, given that it would be an investment, one hopes, into the future? No.
I won't put it into Transnet. No, I won't put it in any of the SOEs. I won't put it in any one of the municipalities that extra money. They get too much money as it is already. Transnet and Eskom, they've received many billions of rands the last couple of years. No, keep the pressure on those institutions and let them stand on their own feet. Let them wash their own faces. What I would do, if I reduce the taxes with this money, or would simply reduce the deficit. That's another alternative, of course. But please don't spend debt. This money. Borrow less, basically, because the debt is going to go up, but let's reduce the rate at which debt is going up. So it's just borrow less. There will still be a deficit. Then, of course, there can be some capital expenditure items as well, but our government is not good at running big expenditure items. So, there will be some announcements or some a new dam here and there, a new hospital here and there kind of stuff. And I guess that's okay. But that's not the big, real big items. I would rather, like I've said, reduce taxes or simply borrow less.
This is Cyril Ramaphosa's last run, last year. Do you think we might get something for his farewell, some big project? He's spoken about some interesting things in the past, fast trains and super cities, etc.
No, I think what has happened is that reality has overtaken ideology as far as the ANC is concerned. I think they understand that we're not in a position where we can announce any of those major grant projects. The state's finances is still in very deep trouble. I think this is a very positive discussion that you and I have at the moment, and people are talking about it, and these very people are quite positive about the budget and how things have been turned around a little bit. I mean, we have to emphasize a little bit. There's a long way still to go. But no, we can't. We simply do not have the money for that. I think what is probably like a lot of people will be happy to hear, but it's pretty much a given already, and that is that the so-called COVID grant will become a permanent fixture. And that there's probably going to be some sort of overhaul in the whole social expenditure system where we will get something resembling a basic income grant, I guess, in future. Because that's, I think, where we're heading for. It's a basic income grant kind of thing that will cover everything from state expenditure on education and health services and the various grants, all of that. So there could be something like that. But to announce a new city in the sky, I don't think that's going to happen now.
And Davi, you will be talking about the budget tomorrow, Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock.
Yes.
How can members of the Business News community actually tune in?
You can just check on my Facebook and you can just register. There's a link there. And just register. It's all for free. Like I've said, this is my 41st budget. I've been analyzing this forever. We've already been preparing the whole format. How are we going to do that? There are many things that remain the same, the normal numbers, the graphs. I just have to update the graphs on revenue and expenditure and funding and that sort of stuff. And I've got a page already for unexpected announcements that the minister is going to make. And then that evening, I will do from 6 o'clock a proper analysis of the budget starting from A and ending at Z. So the whole thing. And I've been doing this forever. And I've got a wonderful team at the Efficient Group that's already started working on this. So we're going to work the whole afternoon preparing the budget. And my wife told me she's going to make us very nice curry during that afternoon while we're working. I've to prepare for the budget. Yeah. But I'll put it on my Facebook. Just Google David with it and it will be there and registered.
And we'll put the link as well on Biz News as well. I will not be doing my traditional post-budget discussion this year. Rather go along to Davi and go. He's been doing it for much longer than I am, and this is his game. You know, we as Verslaggevers, we just on the outside looking in. So thanks, Davi, and thanks again for your insights. And we look forward to seeing you in, how many days is it now? Just 16 days or so here in Hermanus for the Biz News Conference. It's going to be a blast.
I'm really looking forward to that. Alec, put the ice, so put the wine in the ice.
For you, sir, anything. Davi Rutt with The Efficient Group, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.